Hello friends, welcome to Whiz School. We are on chapter 2, Navigating the World of Risk Management. Remember in chapter 1, we navigated the world of insurance. In that chapter, we started right from the evolution of insurance. We studied the basic concepts, key principles, the different types of insurance, the functions and characteristics of insurance, as well as the benefits and limitations of insurance. With that, we have laid a beautiful stepping stone to dive deeper into the world of insurance and risk management. When we talk about risk management, we should also navigate into the world of risk management. We will understand why insurance and risk management go together. Insurance gives you protection, but risk management decides how much insurance should we buy. When we talk about risk management, we first understand what is the risk, what is the frequency, what is the magnitude of loss, what is the severity of risk? Based on that, we prioritize which type of risk should be paid attention to. And for that, insurance comes into the picture for protecting, for compensating for the loss that can happen because of an uncertain event. So this chapter 2, Navigating the World of Risk Management, is going to be a very, very important chapter for understanding the entire introduction to insurance and risk management chapters. This chapter, we will not only understand the concept of risk, but we will also understand the key characteristics of risk, the different elements of risk. When we talk about elements, these are the possibilities of events that could happen. We will require new solutions for the new events happening due to globalization, advanced technology, climate change, the different factors that affect the risk, not only for individuals, but for the businesses, the different types of risk, standard risk, substandard risk, wherein the insurer decides what type of risk he can accept, and how much premium that needs to be charged. Because the premium has to be commensurate with the risk, only then the claims could be paid. Then we will understand the different sources of risk, the nature of risk, and a very important factor, a very important requirement for the insurer is to measure the risk. This is not only important for the insurer, but for the individual or the business before deciding to buy an insurance. And we will also understand the scope of risk, because when we talk in terms of compensation, the insured will get compensation only for the risk that are covered in the insurance policy. So the binding will be there both on the insured and the insurer on the basis of the scope of risk. And that brings us to the step-by-step process of risk management, right from identification of risk, evaluation of risk, prioritization of risk, and then deciding the steps either to accept the risk or to mitigate the risk. So this will cover the entire risk management with insurance. So, when we talk about risk management, the first basic unit that we need to understand is risk. What is risk? Risk is a natural part of life. Risk is the possibility of a loss or harm due to uncertainty. Yes, there can be a loss due to certain events, but when we talk in terms of insurance, the risk is the possibility of loss due to uncertainty. Insurers give you insurance for uncertain events. And when this uncertainty affects individuals and businesses, various factors that can impact the risk needs to be carefully studied. The outcomes which are unpredictable needs to be measured in terms of probability of loss that could happen. Only then right risk commensurate with the loss could be actually decided by the insured, as well as the insurer will charge the insured. We cannot control everything, but when we have a comprehensive solution in the form of insurance and risk management, we get protection, we get compensation for the loss. The individual can do his daily activities confidently, the businesses can continue, be it any uncertain event like a car accident or an economic downturn or shifting customer preferences. When we talk in terms of risk management, it's a step-by-step process. When we talk about step-by-step process, every step has a purpose. The starting point is to identify the risk, where exactly the risk is, then to evaluate what is the severity and frequency of the risk, what is the magnitude of loss that could happen, and how can one respond to such a risk. The ultimate goal is, if and when such uncertain events happen, the loss could come, but the goal would be to minimize the loss and reduce the negative effects. And for this, there could be preventive measures, there could be curative plans. When we talk about preventive measures, the best preventive measure, like if you are driving a car, you have certain security features inbuilt into it. The best curative plans could be, as soon as any accident happens, there has to be immediate intimation to the insurer so that he could send a surveyor, the loss could be estimated, and the claim process could start. So there are different methods and curative plans to minimize the loss. There can be different strategies to avoid the loss, to eliminate the risk, or to reduce or transfer the risk. The basic objective of managing uncertainty with strategy is to control or lessen the effects of undesirable events. The final result, if we follow this step-by-step process, is to reduce the loss or the harm. Friends, one has to remember, risk management strategies cannot cover all risks, but it is essential for getting a comprehensive preventive and curative plan for individuals as well as business. If it cannot cover all the risks, then insurance can complement risk management, because if at all any loss happens despite the step-by-step process of risk management, then both individuals or businesses can get compensation. They would be protected against the losses that could occur due to the residual risk. So, insurance is very important. At the same time, risk is central to insurance. Insurance helps manage and transfer the financial risk. It provides a financial safety net. It mitigates the financial impacts. Both individuals and businesses can pool resources to share the losses. And such insurance can cover life, non-life, as well as health. It can provide a safety net in spite of illness, in spite of job loss, in spite of accidents, in spite of property damage or any claim on liability. Businesses can safeguard themselves from downturns, from any legal cases or even some tech risk or even some sort of cyber attacks. Governments have a beautiful tool in the form of insurance for economic stability and social welfare. Government has taken many initiatives for providing different types of insurance in the form of life insurance, in the form of health insurance, in the form of general insurance also. Insurance and risk management work together. There are not two separate topics, but when we have to understand, we have to understand risk management. And when we talk about risk management, all risk cannot be covered. Hence, we also have to buy insurance. Insurance and risk management provides comprehensive approach for protecting the assets, for providing financial stability as well as well-being. And both individuals and businesses can safeguard themselves from the adverse effects of the unexpected events. When we talk about risk, just like insurance evolved from the ancient times, the concept of risk is also or also has changed over a period of times. In modern times, we have globalization, we have different sort of advanced technologies, we have climate change. These are the different events that take, and this has created complexity in the situations and created newer type of risk. And for this newer type of risk, we require new insurance solution to address the complicated risk. And when we talk about new insurance solutions, they come in the form of newer products. No one could imagine cyber insurance about 2 to 3 decades before. But now, everyone has a mobile, everyone has a laptop, and everyone is having an exposure to the global scenario. And in that case, one has to remain protected against cyber attacks. There can be a supply chain disruption because of the globalization, because of the free economy. The trade and commerce has been growing tremendously. The supply chains have been modernized, and any disruption can seriously impact on the output of the company. And hence, supply chain disruption insurance can ensure business continuity. It can reinstate the infrastructure that was lost and help the business to continue with its regular chain. Parametric insurance, wherein the claims are based on a predefined trigger event. It can be a crop failure, it can be a sudden flood, it can be extreme temperature. Climate-related health insurance protects individuals against specific health issues. Climate change is happening because of the overall global changes that are happening. Because of urbanization, people have to relocate themselves, and resettlement insurance becomes very important to cover the costs associated with moving, finding new housing, and adapting to the new environment, especially in a globalized economy. So, having understood in general about the risk, the connection of insurance with risk management, now let us dive more deeper into this world of risk management, starting with the concept of risk. Risk is central to the study of insurance. The term risk simply implies exposure to adverse situations that cause uncertainty or loss. When we talk about risk, insurers carefully evaluate the likelihood of an uncertain event that can cause loss. Insurer takes steps to measure and quantify the risk, and only then they can decide on the premium that could be commensurate with the risk. Insurers generally avoid situations where there is no likelihood of a loss. And when we talk about managing risk effectively, insurers specifically focus on the measurable probability of loss. Only when they can measure the probability of loss from certain situations which are not foreseeable, only then they can calculate the premiums based on the likelihood of a loss. Only then they can be able to pay the claims that come because of certain uncertain events. Individuals and businesses pay premiums to buy insurance precisely because there is a likelihood of loss. As we said before, risk is a natural part of life, be it an individual or a business. And both individuals and business should have proper, a comprehensive solution in the form of insurance and risk management. Now let's understand the key characteristics of risk. Risk should be measurable in financial terms. Only then the insurer can calculate premiums and the payouts. As we have said before, the loss should be uncertain. There should be a possibility, but not a certainty, because insurance is provided for uncertainty. The loss should be unintentional. If losses are deliberate, insurer might reject the claims because that can be done from a context of fraud. The probability of loss, this cannot be actually seen. Nobody has that foresight, but it can be estimated using statistics and actuarial science. Then the severity of loss, as we said, when we talk about risk management, we have to prioritize risk based on the severity, frequency, and magnitude of the loss. And this severity of loss can range from minor to catastrophic. Again, one important characteristic of risk is the homogeneous exposure. Because when we form the risk pools, similar risks are pooled together for predictability, and this homogeneous exposure helps the insurer to fix a premium for a certain category of risk. Then it has to be non-catastrophic. Insurers avoid simultaneous widespread losses, because if it is non-catastrophic, it could incur huge loss, and therefore such premium collections would not be sufficient, and hence general insurers avoid simultaneous widespread losses. The loss is forfeitous. Loss is unexpected and outside the insurer's control, and for that reason, insurer decides about this right at the stage of underwriting. Risk pooling is very important because a certain category of individuals or businesses facing same type of risk are brought together, and when this group is large, the small premium collected from all this large group is sufficient for covering the loss that happens to only few. The risk pooling is a very important concept, characteristics. Next important characteristic is insurable interest. Insured must have a financial interest in the insured subject matter. This also we saw in the key principles in chapter 1. Then indemnity principles, specifically for non-life principle or insurance, wherein compensated equal the actual loss. The insured cannot profit, but at the same time, they can get compensation equal to the loss that he has suffered. Economic hardship is another key characteristic of risk. When we talk about the loss results into economic hardships, be it an individual or a business. The potential loss should cause economic loss to the insured. Next, we move to the elements of risk. Risk depends upon various elements of the event that could happen or not happen. The severity and frequency of the events happening or not happening will decide the magnitude of loss. Insured must disclose the aspects of the event, and that is the reason a key principle of utmost good faith, the uberemi fide, insured's obligation to disclose all facts related to the asset he wants to get insured. And here comes only when the insurer understands all aspects of the event related to the asset, only then he could calculate the premium concerning these elements. It's the duty of the insurer to decide upon the risk, whether to accept or not. But for that reason, the insured must disclose all the facts, all the aspects of the event to the insurer. And once the facts are disclosed, then the insurer identifies the perils, the contingencies and hazards. Perils are nothing but the causes for loss. Contingencies depends upon happening or not happening. An hazard is something that can aggravate the peril, aggravate the loss before providing the insurance. These three factors, perils, contingencies and hazards, are identified by the insurer. And once that is done, underwriting involves evaluating risk and deciding the premium in normal circumstances, an extra premium if there is a higher risk. Next, we categorize risk into two main parts. One is standard, other is substandard. What do we mean by standard risk? Standard risk simply means the insurer puts the individual at an average risk level. The prospects have clean insurance history and engage in low-risk activities. For example, a healthy non-smoker with no pre-existing conditions can be easily put into the standard risk category. Exactly opposite is the substandard risk, where individuals or entities can have a higher than average level of risk. And we will discuss more about this. What factors could result into higher risk and what factors could result into average risk in the subsequent slides. Prospects have health issues and engage in hazardous occupations or have a history of risky behavior can be easily put into substandard risk and hence have to pay higher premiums. A smoker with a history of heart disease will have a higher danger to his life than a non-smoker without a history of heart disease, and hence such individuals can easily be put into substandard risk. Now, what are the different factors that are affecting risk? We will understand this for all the three types of insurance, that is life insurance, non-life insurance, as well as health insurance. Let's first list out the various factors affecting life insurance. They can be personal factors, financial factors, lifestyle factors, social factors, environmental factors, policy-related factors, and external factors. We are going to understand each one of them in more details in subsequent slides. When we talk about personal factors, age. Younger individuals have to pay lesser premium than older individuals because younger individuals have lower risk. When it comes to gender, women tend to live longer. Men may engage in riskier behavior, and hence women have lower risk than men, and generally the premium may be lesser for women compared to men. When it comes to physique, a healthy weight and BMI can result in lower premiums, because when we have good weight distribution, you will be considered healthy, less illness and lower claims. So a healthy weight and good BMI can have lower premiums. Physical conditions. Experts in the field can assess a person's longevity or mortality due to impairment of certain organs. It can be medical experts. It can be the actuaries. When we talk about personal medical history, a history of chronic diseases or health problems happening consistently can result in higher risk and hence higher premiums. If a person has a family medical history, then certain diseases are bound to happen to him and hence the risk is higher and he have to pay higher premiums. When we talk about the personal factors, it starts right from hobbies and lifestyle. If a person is engaging in adventurous activities like mountaineering, scuba diving, etc., then it can attract high premiums because of higher risk. Similarly, occupation. If a person is engaged in hazardous occupation, it can attract higher premiums. Residence. If a person is living in a polluted area or an area which is prone to earthquakes, then it can attract higher risk and hence higher premium. Morals of a person, a dishonest person, wants to buy insurance for certain malafide intentions. Such dishonest behavior or attitude will not help him to buy an insurance. Nationality, the climate and the way of life of a country can affect the health conditions of the people, like extreme temperature, political instability, and there could be various factors which can put him into a higher risk. Next, we understand the financial factors. We have seen higher income people can easily buy adequate insurance for a comprehensive cover. So higher incomes generally allow for more comprehensive coverage. Higher economic status provides a better field for insurance because people are more literate to understand the value and accordingly buy insurance commensurate with it. Financial stability. When the income is happening regularly, the premiums are paid regularly, and hence this results into lesser policy lapses. Credit history speaks a lot. A good credit history reflects timely payments. Employment status, stable employment reduces the risk of defaulting on premium payments. Let's understand the lifestyle factors. First comes the hobbies. Excessive physical exertion or activities in hazardous environment can carry higher risk of injury or death. Hobbies with higher risk attract higher premiums. Some people have some high risky habits such as smoking, alcohol consumption, drug use, and obviously they face higher risk of injury or death and hence are put into higher risk class and may have to pay higher premium and surcharge to the premium also. When we talk about the status, people working in mining areas or as firefighters are again prone to risk and have higher risk of injury or death than the normal office workers who typically work into buildings by having all sort of facilities. People with higher income due to the extended working hours may also face higher risk due to stress and uncertain or unhealthy lifestyles. People living in urban areas, especially where the pollution is high, where the crime rates are high, they are facing higher risk and hence higher premiums. Social factors can also impact risk, like lower socioeconomic levels. People will have higher risk. They may have poor health, or death can even be caused due to poverty, lesser access to healthcare, and exposure to environmental hazards. Social isolation and discrimination can deteriorate the mind of a person. They put them at higher risk of death due to stress, mental health problems, and depression. If an area has a lot of communal violence, people who live in such communities face higher rates of violence and higher risk or injury and death due to exposure to the trauma. Environmental factors can also cause risk. Number one, residential area. Extreme weather events near residences such as hurricanes, floods, wildfires may increase the risk of injury and death. Geographic locations, exposure to pollution or natural disasters can impact the health, may cause injury and death. extreme temperatures can cause a higher risk of death from heart stroke or even hypothermia. High levels of air or water pollution may pose a higher risk of death from respiratory problems. Areas with higher rates of infections or infectious diseases caused by insect bites can result into malaria, dengue fever, or other diseases which can pose risk of death. Now let's look at the policy-related factors. When we talk about policy-related matters, the first factor comes the policy types. Different types of policies are issued, and the insured has to pay premiums based on the risk profiles. Term life insurance is the most affordable with a lower premium, whereas if the policy covers the entire life, then it will require a higher premium for whole life insurance. If the insured opts for riders and add-ons, then every rider can increase the risk and hence the premium. The second important policy-related factor could be the policy length. In general, longer the policy length, insured will have to pay more for the premium. Similarly, the coverage amount, if the sum assured is higher, the premium will also increase. Now let's look at the external factors. When we talk about external factors, the first comes changes in mortality trends. Like we have seen, the life expectancy, people are living more with advancement in technology, with increase in literacy levels, and insurers are very happy because it results into lesser risk, and they accordingly adjust their pricing models after analyzing the mortality data. With advancement in technology, people live longer. They can control the diseases which were once life-threatening, and based on that, it reduces the insurer's risk, and here again, they can adapt their pricing and product offerings. Economic conditions, volatility, inflation can increase financial risk, and it can cause job losses, business failures, and which in turn could result into default on premium payments. When the premiums are less, the investments made by the insurance company would be lower, and the claim settlement could be challenged. Now let's look at the factors affecting non-life insurance. The previous slides were for life insurance. When we talk about non-life insurance, we will consider the property insurance, the auto insurance, the liability insurance. When we talk about property insurance, we will understand the various factors which can impact the risk, such as location, type, age, and condition, security, etc. When we talk about the auto insurance, we'll talk about the type and model of the vehicle, the driver's age and experience, etc. When we talk about the liability insurance, we'll talk about the nature of business, volume of operations, obligations, etc. We are going to discuss this in more details when we discuss in the subsequent slides. When we talk about the marine insurance, the factor becomes the nature of voyage, the type of ship used, the crew experience, etc. Fire insurance will have factors in the type and location, construction material, fire safety measures, etc. And when we come to the miscellaneous general insurance, we will classify them into travel insurance, burglary insurance, fidelity insurance, money insurance, personal accident insurance, the banker's blanket indemnity insurance, and the jeweler's block insurance. So let's look at the first type of non-life insurance, that is the property insurance. First factor could be location of the property. Properties in areas prone to natural disasters or high crime rates will definitely have higher risk and higher premiums. Similarly, the property located in regions having extreme temperatures, higher humidity, or pollution will also cause higher risk and hence higher premium. In terms of the type of property, commercial and industrial properties will have higher risk exposure compared to residential properties, because commercial industrial properties may have equipments, may have inflammable materials, may have processes that could lead to higher risk. Age and condition of property. Obviously, the old construction buildings with worn out electrical systems, plumbing or structural weaknesses could cause certain accidents, could cause certain damages to the property. Whereas a good brand new construction with proper modern fittings will have lesser risk. Occupancy and usage. A property used as a manufacturing unit with hazardous material is more risky than a residential property wherein people live with ease with minimal of risky activities. Security measures. Nowadays, we have different types of security equipments. Properties with CCTV, burglar alarms, fire suppression systems, good security guards will definitely have lower risk. And if the property is near to the police station, fire station or fire hydrants, if at all something uncertain happens, this resources can easily be used for mitigating the loss, security measure, etc., etc. Human factor, the most important factor, which involves the behavior of occupants and the level of skills. Because we have seen the loss minimization principle, if at all any uncertain event happens, there is an obligation on the individual and businesses to ensure that they should take immediate steps to minimize the loss. They should not just sit tight and allow the loss to happen, the magnitude of loss to increase.